This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
January 26, 2011. Ellen Greenberg lost her life. Stabbed more than 20 times, including post-mortem stab wounds. Into the back of the neck, chest, and head. Police asking the medical examiner to rule it a suicide, contrary to their already understanding this was a homicide. It's a case that makes little to no sense, and even less when we learn about the politics in Philadelphia and the politicians involved who refused to give this case the justice it deserves. And a look at that autopsy one more time to properly identify how Ellen died. All this week, Sandra and Josh Greenberg are with us to hear their story, struggling to find justice for their daughter, Ellen Greenberg. Let's go back. You're learning these pieces in the middle of that nor'easter and just the hell that must be knowing you can't leave your home because of the storm. Eventually, right. More pieces kind of come into place and you learn that, okay, she was...
We were in shock.
Yeah,
we didn't
yeah.
know anything.
Sure.
And we were basically in shock. And everything you're going to ask me, I'm going to say, I don't remember.
Okay.
Because we don't remember a lot of it.
Tony, it took us years and years and years of doing our own
investigation,
yeah. trying to put the pieces back together to understand what happened to our daughter.
Sure.
She was a taxpayer in Pennsylvania. And the people that we would think would come to our aid are doing nothing but...
Tony, why does the general public believe me and not the elected officials?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
not exactly. Why? I'm asking you a question.
Why? Because you're a taxpayer. You're not an elected official. You're not a politician.
I'm not the governor. I'm not a mayor. I'm not a policeman. Yeah. They believe me over them.
Yeah, because most people don't believe politicians.
Isn't that a sad commentary on our system?
Oh, I completely agree, 100%, 100%. And you're speaking from a place of one interest, of getting justice for your daughter. When politicians speak, they're not speaking from that perspective. They're speaking from a perspective of, I want to be reelected. I need to have this person on my side for this or that. And that's where it all turns into the nightmare that it does. What was your first inklings that in this investigation that something was very, very off here? Obviously, it was looked at as a homicide initially, then ruled a suicide.
I'm going to answer your question.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
All I know is we decided to hire Cyril Weck and pay him money to review the case. But we didn't know what the H we were doing.
Yeah.
And the police
never contacted us. They never contacted us, Sandy.
I sent letters with a return receipt to the building management company.
And what did you get back?
And the district attorney.
And what did you get back?
Nothing.
Right.
Saying, I want to go on record as the mother of Ellen Ray Greenberg.
Yeah.
Please share the guest logs, the video, the security video, and any other information, and I got radio silence.
So there really wasn't much of an investigation into the death at the time because there was
no investigation.
Like there was no, how should I say this? No cornering off the apartment as a crime scene at all.
Why?
No, the yellow tape that my wife likes. There was no yellow tape. The uncle of the fiance removed my daughter's computers, her fiance's computers, and other personal stuff from this thing, but did not take the engagement ring that was on the night table.
Why did he go in and take all the digital devices and such?
Call him.
He's an attorney.
Larry Schwartzman.
Yeah, he's an attorney, correct?
You bet.
Has he spoken on this at all?
No.
No.
He's going to say he was protecting it so it wouldn't get stolen. He'll make some bogus story up. And the judge, who may be politically connected with him somehow, will agree with him. That's what's going to happen.
Can I just go on record in saying that I never gave him permission to touch or take any of my daughter's personal effects?
Essentially, he stole them.
Okay.
Legally, he stole them, if you want to, you know, describe what he did.
Sure.
He came 2 days later to the funeral. He's a lawyer. He didn't bring them and return her things to us.
For months.
No, that's not true.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's for the police.
He had to rescind.
3 days later, he gave it to the police.
But in the meantime, the chain of custody was totally broken. Mm-hmm. And it's a really botched situation with a lot of suspicion and a lot of gray areas, because he had no right to touch or take any of her property.
Were you able to, once those devices returned, take a look at them or discover anything?
He had to wait months.
Okay.
Because he had to surrender them that Saturday. Then the police had them. And in the meantime, Judge Schwartzman had Ellen's credit cards, handbag, keys, cash, all her credit cards that he didn't return to me until Josh and I, once we could recollect ourselves, maybe like 6 weeks later, I'm guessing, we went into Philadelphia to City Hall to file, you know,
papers,
the paperwork. We had to go to the building, talk to Sam. Sam had to talk to his father. His father had to talk to his uncle to relinquish our property.
They're thieves.
Very bizarre. I mean, this should just be, hey, here's this stuff back. Let's go to this person and that person.
If you've read about the case, the whole thing is bizarre.
Yeah, I have. I'm going through it because I want to hear it from your perspective. With the funeral and all these people coming in for it. Obviously, your daughter was engaged to Samuel Goldberg. What was the experience with him? I mean, after this crime took place, after she was murdered, did you?
We had no contact, essentially.
First of all, we didn't know it was a murder. We were not getting information from anyone. I mean, other than the fact that the day after the incident occurred, the medical examiner of Philadelphia, Marlon Osborne, ruled Ellen's passing a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But still, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't know she was stabbed 20 times. I didn't know that until I read the autopsy.
Well, they didn't know it either until they did the autopsy, because they never looked at her back.
I know, but I had to pay for the autopsy reports 3 times.
Months later, they had a meeting with some detectives, an assistant district attorney, and some other officials, there's no record of, none. There's no written record of this meeting, where they discussed it with the medical examiners, and the police convinced the medical examiners to close the case and call it a suicide.
And that's
the three medical examiners for malicious misconduct to cover up a homicide. We are fighting the city to have a trial to get the medical examiners to change it to undecided or homicide.
Yeah.
We want to have an unbiased investigation led by an unbiased person, not a politico from Philadelphia. Go ahead. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah.
We're not telling anybody we think so-and-so did this.
No.
We don't say so-and-so did this. We didn't even say that Tony Bruschi was the murderer.
I know, but Tony, if you were to take a crystal clear look at the medical examiner's report, the fonts are different.
Really?
Right. So there were things inserted or...
They claim that Dr. Rourke, an expert in forensic pathology of neurological basis, examined a piece of spinal tissue that they had from Ellen's body and that she said this would not have kept Ellen from administering those 20 wounds. Dr. Rourke is known. First of all, we personally asked Bellino, the head medical examiner, how many times they had a meeting like this. Mm-hmm. This was the only meeting they ever had before or after Ellen's death where they had a meeting like this with the police with no records. No records. Dr. Rourke, with our investigator, Mr. Brennan, talked to her, said, I don't recall. If I don't recall, I didn't see it. And if I didn't see it, goodbye. I'm not going to talk to you. She didn't write a report. She didn't file a bill. She didn't get paid. Nothing that she usually did was done. So that's all bogus. And then they brought in.
Wait. So that is a fraudulent statement
into the medical examiner's report. It's fraud. Mm-hmm. Then they brought in, what's her name? The forensic pathologist they brought in to look at this tissue.
Lindsay Emery?
They brought in Lindsay Emery. They hired our new forensic pathologist. And under oath, Lindsay Emery's deposition said that Ellen got these wounds to the back of the neck and other places after you got these wounds post-mortem.
Mm-hmm.
How do you kill yourself and then continue administering wounds? How do you administer 20 wounds and don't stop from the pain?
Exactly. I mean, none of this makes any sense. And that's what's so baffling about this all is these are just facts. These are not debatable pieces
we
of
have
this.
Evidence to prove everything we're saying.
Exactly.
And actually, the stuff that Lindsay Emery said, she was employed by the medical examiner's office, not by us. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't pay her.
Sure.
Not a paid expert for us, which they will say, oh, you were paid by the Greenbergs. This is all bogus. This is all, I couldn't write a script like this.
There's more of my conversation with Sandra and Josh Greenberg coming up. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of this conversation every day this week. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.